Welcome, everyone. It's Sunday, October 30th, and this is episode 4 of the Geek and Plunder podcast. I'm Damesies. Today, I'm joined by Hilde.
Hello.
Do you know why I did the podcast?
Yeah, to make me laugh.
No, because it's Halloween tomorrow.
Ah, okay.
Because I wanted to do something creepy.
Ah, you should have said that like in a thing in a creepy voice.
Yeah, but I didn't want you to start laughing from the start because then I wouldn't be able to do the whole thing. So I was like, let me just do it at the end.
Can't you use like a button to do like a demon voice?
I should, but I still need to kind of set everything up to use the button. So
ah, okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I won't speak like that the whole podcast.
No, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already going to scare everybody away. But yeah, tomorrow is Halloween. Are you ready?
Almost.
You spent like, it's Sunday today, you spent half of the day kind of preparing for what your costume for tomorrow. I'm not going to say what it is. Mm-hmm. People can see it on your Instagram.
Yeah, they will be able to see it.
But it looked extremely creepy.
Yeah.
I was really feeling uncomfortable around you.
Yeah, I saw it that you were. And when I looked in a mirror long enough, I was getting scared by myself.
Yeah, but I have that all of the time. I don't even need to be dressed up.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, sometimes when I just stare into a mirror.
When you look at me.
No, at myself, in a mirror. I don't look at you in a mirror.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
When I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah, sneaky. But yeah, your costume was... I mean, the thing you're kind of dressed up as is something that I really feel kind of uncomfortable around.
Already?
Yeah, and then... It is a very, very creepy version of that. But yeah, people should check out Tyrannosaurus Hilken on Instagram if you want to see what she actually ended up looking like. Or you join us on the stream. She's probably going to pop up on my stream. I'm going to be streaming on Monday.
Yeah, and I will be evening. Preparing, so.
Yeah. My costume is going to be way more simple, but it has layers to it. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, but you can already say that because the podcast is coming out after.
No, the podcast is coming out like a few hours after we record it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you already spoiled something, no?
No, it has layers to it. That's about all. I mean, that's about all I'm going to say.
Like, you're going to dress up now. I'm thinking non-human. Like, oh, no, like Joey.
Like Joey?
Like Joey with all the clothes of Chandler. That has many layers. Yeah. Are you going to use my clothes? You're going to rip them.
Yeah, no, I do not fit in your clothes.
That would be funny, though.
It would be funny. No, it's not that kind of layered. But yeah, Halloween is coming up, so... That is going to be the topic for this episode. This week, I released a video just yesterday on the Geek and Planner YouTube channel where I did the my first ever unboxing of a Figma. For the people that are not familiar, Figma are these Japanese toys or figurines, rather, that are made by the Good Smile Company. And they have a lot of kind of adjustable parts to them. You can basically kind of move them around to have them take every pose you can think of.
Yeah.
They're kind of interesting. So I saw one for Silent Hill. We're going to be talking about Silent Hill in a minute. And I've always wanted something in my collection Silent Hill themed because it is my favorite game franchise ever. I get asked quite a lot on stream, what is your favorite game series? And the answer is almost surprisingly for a lot of people because they expect me to say Overwatch because I do a lot of stuff on Overwatch.
Yeah.
Silent Hill.
But you can't play Silent Hill forever. You can, but it's not.
No,
it's different.
Yeah, I definitely want to play the games again. The funny thing is, so I got this Figma and ended up breaking it. You need to check the video if you want to know how I did that. But I was kind of disappointed to see that. I mean, I think I might be a little too...
Clumsy?
Clumsy, yeah.
Yeah, or
I
maybe...
I was going to say too manly or too big.
Too manly. That would be so wrong.
What was that?
That was a fart laugh.
Guys, is that a bad sign if your girlfriend kind of fart laughs when you say you're too manly? I think so.
No, but I think you were... You didn't really know how it worked because you were fiddling with it. And then I had to correct your mistake.
Yeah, you glued it.
No, I didn't glue it. I made a new hole. Yeah. I put the thing. I couldn't glue it. It was
destroyed. There was some weird
Now your camera plays his head again.
If you see it at the end of the video, trust me, under that hood, there's a lot of stuff going on that you don't want to know about. But I, to be honest, I put the blame for 50% with myself because I wasn't being too aggressive with it. It kind of broke easy. I'm going to be honest. I put the blame for 50% on myself and 50% on Goods My Company.
Yeah, because it broke so fast, but also because they didn't explain how to remove the head because there were two parts of it. Mm. Ah, yeah, but you got to the second part. But yeah, it's not really, yeah. Mm. Well, maybe I could have had the same thing if I even wouldn't be able to get it out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it did take some force to get it out. But anyways, check out the video. It's on the Geek and Plunder YouTube channel. And I'm going to post a TikTok about it this week. But yeah, you won't get to see my buffoonery as I break it. That's something. That's a YouTube exclusive. But talking about Silent Hill, so I got this. This was my first piece of, well, this was my first Figma and probably my last, to be honest. But it's also my first piece of Silent Hill merch. I've always been a huge fan of Silent Hill, but every time they released some merchandise, it was either going to be really expensive to get it over here in Europe, or it was just something really weird. Like, I mean, the skateboards kind of look nice, but what am I going to do with a Silent Hill skateboard?
But was it one to put it on a wall, or was it a real one?
I mean, if I would put something on the wall when I'm 16, it would be a skateboard. But at my age, it's going to be something different.
And all the statues were probably...
Well, they didn't have that many statues. And now they announced, that was the funny part. I ordered this Figma weeks ago. And then suddenly, after years of rumors, Konami kind of did a whole, ta-da, we're going to do a stream. And we're going to be talking about the future of Silent Hill. Turned out that they're going to remake Silent Hill 2.
Yeah.
And they're going to release two more Silent Hill games. One that is basically kind of in line with everything that we've seen up till now. And then a Japanese spin-off. They're going to do a new movie, a third movie. And they're going to release these really beautiful statues.
Yeah, that's going to be expensive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to get, if these statues, if I can get them over here in Europe, I definitely want to get one of them.
You have to get the nurse as well.
Yeah. I got the Pyramid Head, by the way. I didn't think I said that. It's the Pyramid Head Figma.
No, you didn't say it.
But yeah, maybe one of the nurses, maybe both. We'll see. But they didn't really give a release date, so that's something to look forward to. But I don't think you ever played Silent Hill, did you?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Or I watched you play it.
Oh, yeah.
But I looked at the movies.
Yeah,
and I love them a lot.
Yeah, the movies are actually not bad for game movies. Usually game-related movies are... Well, there's very rare examples of them being good, but overall they're just... Wow. Wow.
There are also a little bit of a mind...
Yeah, you can say it's a podcast.
Fudge?
No, it's a podcast. Okay. You can curse. This is not YouTube or Twitch.
Yeah. On Twitch, I just say it. And then I'm like, damn, why did I say it? But yeah, it's kind of a mind fuck.
Yeah. She's so proud of herself.
I think it's the second movie, right? That's really the car that's mind fuck. Or is it the game that is like that?
Well, they all are. Everything. The games are kind of a...
Yeah, because you can end up in the same... spot where you started. It's like some kind of maze and you think it's snowing, but it's ash.
It's
not
ash
from Overwatch, but
ash from Evil Dead. No. Basically, the whole story about Silent Hill is that it is based on a real town that I actually saw. I knew about this town for a long time, but I recently, just coincidence, saw a whole new documentary about the village, the state of it right now. And there used to be a mine under that village and the mine caught fire. So it is burning under the ground.
Oh.
And that is basically what is, according to the game, is happening in Silent Hill. Now, in the real place where that happens, you don't see ashes flying around. Just
people
are being moved out because it is dangerous.
But it's a reference to the fire.
It is based on that same principle that there's a fire kind of burning under Silent Hill. And but it's more than that. I mean, that is... There's so many layers to the whole story. So the top, if we would call it the realistic dimension layer, is that it's a village that was abandoned due to the coal mines burning underground.
Yeah.
So everybody that lived there has moved out. Because everybody that comes back there that you play the game with is basically looking for something, has been there on vacation at some point, or has lost relatives or things that they kind of originated from there. And they always come back there, and then turns out to be a lot more layers back to the layers to the town then. And
oh, I don't want to spoil it. Is that a spoiler?
It's not. But I don't want to spoil anything about the story, but it turns out that there's more to this village than just that. It's there's more going on there.
Oh, I just remembered something. Like, I'm just going to say the alarm. Oh my God. Yeah. When the alarm goes off in the game. Yeah, I played a game. Now I remember. I did.
There's two things like that, to scare you. Is the radio, when the radio starts going off, you know that there's an enemy around, and the alarm's going
off. The alarm is nope.
You just, that is my first ever experience was playing Silent Hill 1 on PlayStation 1 many, many years ago with my best friend at the time. His parents were out, and we basically rented the game, and he had heard about Silent Hill, that it was really good. And we kind of liked horror games. So he said, like, come over for the weekend. My parents are out of the house. I will just get a lot of snacks, sodas. I will just play the game the whole weekend. And we did. And I remember these moments. There were these moments in the stories that we just kind of dropped the controller. We didn't want to continue anymore because it was like, it wasn't about being scary, because Silent Hill is not the game with the jump scares. It's not the main selling point. If you think about like other horror games,
the bathroom. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's the toilet, I think.
I'm sorry. I'm all forgetting a list because yes, but the Silent Hill is a very funky.
There are some jump scares in there, but I think the most terrifying thing about Silent Hill is not the jump scares, it's more about the tension that they continuously build with the music, with the atmosphere, with the graphics, with the story. Like, you always, there's no moment of rest. There is no moment at which you think, okay, I'm safe.
Safe. No, never.
So you're basically always on the edge of your seat. And at some point it got so high, and there was one moment, without spoiling anything, like there was one of the characters in the game that got locked out, and you ended up on the wrong other side of the door. And
I remember the scene.
Yeah, it was such a haunting moment. It was such an impactful moment that they kind of built up that relationship with that character, and then they kind of separate you, and then you have that real, almost realistic feel of, oh, what am I going to do? I'm all by myself. We were two. Yeah. I don't know how old we were. I think somewhere around 18. 18-year-old guys that felt like, oh shit, now we need to do this all by ourselves. Like, you know, we had that feeling of abandonment and scared, not as much as like jump scared, but rather kind of tension was
You just want to stay with the door where because you don't want to turn around.
Yeah, you don't want to venture into whatever is in front of you, because you know that the other person is behind that door. But to be honest, there are some things that I don't know if she's still there. but anyways. The first three games have all of these tension building moments, this whole storyline that always kind of keeps pushing you. And then when the game is over, it kind of all blossoms open. It all kind of reveals itself. And I have never, ever since seen a game that does it in the same way, that kind of captures me in the same way, and that makes me feel so claustrophobic and so scared and so tense in a way that it is enjoyable, because it's not like you ever feel like, fuck this game. I mean, it's not like you get frustrated. You are so curious to see what is, and you always feel like,
and also because of the story, you want to know what's going to happen. What's wrong with this town, or sometimes there's a reason why you're there. So you have to continue, and you want to know why or what happened.
And they always kind of pull you back in with these characters that are in there. There's so few people that run around. It's not like there's a lot of people running around. I mean, I think in Silent Hill 2, you have, I think, the most characters. I'm not sure anymore. Maybe two or three. And that's like a handful of people, maybe 10 of people in total that you run into. But they all are so unique, and you almost care about all of them, or you are kind of worried about all of them. And then it's just...
I think it's because it's so few of them that you meet someone it's also a human being. The feeling that you're not alone in there is just so comforting. But then you get attached to those characters.
Yeah, sometimes there's people, like some of the people you meet, if you would meet them outside of Silent Hill, you would not kind of interact with them because they are all fucked up in their own way.
It's kind of like, if I have to like compare it to something like The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. they also have to rely on each other. They bump into each other because there's a world full of danger.
Yeah.
And they would never hang out together, but they do.
They have to.
They have to. Yeah.
That's what I like about it. And the villains in the game, or the enemies, or the monsters, let's call them that, are so screwed up. Like, I was editing the video.
It's clearly a Japanese.
Yeah. You can tell it's Japanese, definitely. Because I was editing the video and I had to get some footage of the old game, the first game, or the first and the second game. And then I saw these moments at which some of the monsters that you run into, and there was one that I completely forgot about.
There's one that I always think about, and it's not the pyramid head, and it's not a nurse.
Which one is it?
It's the one in the bathroom.
Is that the one on the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the one I saw that I completely forgot about.
Oh, you forgot about him? Oh, I.
Oh, no, not the crawl. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the one that crawls over the ceiling.
The one that was locked in one of the bathroom stalls. In the bathroom stalls. Then the alarm goes off, and then you... there's a safe spot, a bathroom, and then you go in, but then and then you open all the doors, but oh my god, not that door.
No, I was thinking there's like one creature that is kind of in a cage on the ceiling, and it drops down, and it has this monster inside. I completely forgot about that guy, but you have the dog. There's so many different characters that you run into, and those noises that they make, like I said before. They're basically two things you're always listening for, because there's always mist. So you can only see like a few feet in front of you.
Yeah, mist and ash. Ashes.
Yeah. Ash, yeah.
Yeah, but also mist.
Yeah. And the sounds you're listening to is, like Hilda said before, the sirens, because that means that the world is about to change. Mm. But the other one is the radio. Color. Like if you have a radio on you, and the louder it starts kind of sounding, the mm-hmm. closer the enemies are. And then the first thing you hear is that and you realize, oh, there's someone near, but at that point you don't know which enemy it's going to be. And then you hear the nurses go, they make this really specific sound. And then you have the ones that crawl over the floor that make it. And it just, even to this point, I haven't played the game now, I think in a few years, I still hear those sounds. Every time the soundtrack for Silent Hill starts to play, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to, it's on my to-do list for later tonight. I want to buy the vinyl record. It's available again. For the soundtrack of Silent Hill, because that music,
the music is
iconic.
It adds another layer to talk about layers again. It just adds to the atmosphere of the whole game, like the music that is playing when you're walking, and it always like builds up. It's really
It grabs you.
You're really indulged in the world.
The composer that makes it is pretty unique. I know that like a year ago or 2 years ago at E3, like the replacement for E3, they announced a new horror game.
Yeah.
And one of the things, it was a Swedish studio. I think the Swedish studio that is actually making the next Silent Hill game, but I'm not 100% sure if that is the case. But anyways, they were making a new game that they were big fans of Silent Hill themselves. And they used the composer for Silent Hill.
Of course.
And the music they played, like they started playing the trailer. We did not know at that point yet that I was the composer. They started playing the trailer. The first thing I said is like, this is the Silent Hill composer. And afterwards they explained like, yeah, we are big fans of Silent Hill. And we wanted to base our game kind of what they did. And we were so lucky to get the composer to kind of work with us. I was like, yeah, that guy just has a unique kind of, what do you call it? Like his sound that he manages to produce, the whole emotional landscape that he creates with his music is so typical. And one of those things that I've not seen again or heard again.
Yeah, but music adds so much to
a game. It is an important part of the whole, one of my best friends makes music for games. Yeah. And if you see what effort and what time he puts in, to make good tracks, and he's really talented at doing it. But it, even for him, it's always a challenge to kind of find that right atmosphere, that right emotion to kind of make it work for the game that he's working on. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the remake. It is going to be, you know, that thing where you think about old games,
mm-hmm.
and in your head you kind of imagine them to be to what they look like, and they always kind of look better than they actually were. You kind of start to make a mix between the game that you played like 20 years ago and the modern graphics.
For me, it's the opposite. When I played it, I'm like, oh damn, that looks so weird. Or
but I mean, if you play it again, you notice that they really don't look like that. But
In your head, it's like, In your head, it's like perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you play it again, you notice like, oh yeah, this
is old. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I mean. I mean, you played a lot of Final Fantasy. I can't imagine the first time you saw Final Fantasy VII, the way it looked like 20 years ago, that you're like, oh, really?
But I remember when I played it, at that time, we were laughing with the hands because they were like, it was like Minecraft, actually, like the hands were bricks. And we were already laughing with that at that
back
time.
Back in the time,
Back in the time when it was new. So, when I see how they look now, oh my God, it's like, you know how it looks because there was also a movie and stuff like Silent Hill, you know how it looks, but when you just play the game, it's amazing to see the growth evolution of
Because the first one really looked really blocky, almost. I'm not going to say Minecraft way, but it wasn't too far off. It was a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah,
it was
not much of a PlayStation 1. That's normal.
PlayStation 2 was Silent Hill 2 was already a lot better, but then they released some enhanced editions. But this one looked, I mean, they did it all from scratch again. Even the soundtrack is done from scratch again. The models are done from scratch. It's not an upgrade, it is really a complete remake. And I think they're going to use some different camera standpoints, because Silent Hill also had the fixed camera standpoint. You did not move, the camera did not move around you. It was like the old Resident Evil games where you basically had one standpoint. It was back in the day, it was, you either were a fan of Resident Evil or Silent Hill. That was the thing back in the day.
Well, I was a fan of both. I really loved Resident Evil.
I really enjoyed them too. But I mean, there was always
there's
like this
a big
preference.
Difference between them.
Yeah.
Because I thought I first played Resident Evil and I thought Silent Hill was going to be a little bit of the same.
That's
but
a lot of
it's so different because like in Resident Evil, you feel like you're playing a game, like really playing game. Silent Hill, it's more about like being indulged in the game. Like,
You're basically living a story.
You're playing, it's like a movie, watching a movie and that's with a lot of games nowadays, but this one really has that.
Yeah, they were pretty early. Yeah, they were pretty early with that kind of experience. The whole game is going to look completely different. This is going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive and PC.
Oh.
For the first year. After that, they're going to probably release it to, I guess Xbox and maybe a Switch port, Switch Pro by then. Maybe we'll see, because I mean they have not given any release dates. But I'm thinking it's going to be 2024 at the earliest.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't see it coming out any sooner. The trailer looked nice. And I'm really curious. Like, the main character kind of looked a little different. Mm-hmm. But that's always with these upgrades, these kind of remakes, they take the opportunity to kind of more fine-tune if you start out with a square and they tell you to fine-tune the cube, everybody's going to fine-tune or kind of mold a cube in a different way. And if you start out with a character that is really low poly and you can add more polygons, getting that same feel, because in your head you kind of make this translation to the character, a face that you think it looks like. That's what our brain does, and I know it doesn't always work out for everybody, but I'm looking forward to playing it. I think that is going to be a fun moment. I hope they do it right, and to kind of be playing like you had with Final Fantasy VII, the remake.
Yeah, and for me it was there was a movie, but like Cloud looked like I would have imagined him. He even looked better than.
All
the characters were like how I imagined them in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. even with the bricks.
With the Minecraft feel to it. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the new game, because back in the day they also, so they released 1, 2, 3, and then they released Room was the next one, and I played the Room. I don't think I ever completed it because it kind of got, I don't know, it kind of felt like they lost their touch. I think it was because they kept you pretty close into the same space the whole time, not in one room but in one building.
Yeah.
While Overwatch, I keep saying Overwatch, Silent Hill does have that feeling where you roam the whole town and you have these different sections of the town that you kind of visit. And then you have these buildings with the different floors, and you spend a lot of time in one building, but at certain points you go outside, you venture outside and you go to a different building. So you're
kind of never want to go outside. Yeah. It's so hard when you're inside, like, ugh.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I've always felt uneasy. I've always felt that any moment it something could happen. The only places you were safe
when you're safe, like when you clear the room, yeah, then you feel safe like for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Or a second.
Or the safe rooms, yeah.
Depends how long it takes to take the enemy down.
Yeah, how good you are at the game. Well, yeah. I'm curious to see what the new game is going to look like. The Japanese version or the Japanese spin-off looked interesting, kind of like visually. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of colors to it. It was very typically Japanese, like very over the top and kind of organic. Not bad, but we'll see. And then the new movie, we'll see what that is going to give. I mean, I'm wondering, for what I heard, Sean Bean is not going to be in it because he was in the first two movies. So apparently this is kind of a separate story. But yeah, I mean, Silent Hill is a character by itself. So
yeah,
that's the only returning character you need in a game. All the characters, although like in Silent Hill 1, 2 and 3, they feel like separate games, but actually there's a link between some of the games. Like there's some mm-hmm. characters that are in, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
It's a little bit the same like Bioshock. There's always a link,
yeah,
but you don't play with the same character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, well, I'm not going to say anything. You need to play it to kind of figure it all out. But yeah, you just already said Resident Evil. I enjoyed Resident Evil a lot too. I mean, yeah. Silent Hill was my number one, but I definitely enjoyed.
I like the typewriter. That's so stupid. To save the game, you have to use the typewriter.
But yeah, that was the way it went back in the day.
I still remember. Like the typewriter is something I really remember. So
yeah,
well, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I liked it. I really liked how they've done that.
Yeah, they fixed that issue, or they kind of depicted how you save. It's not like a lot of games back in the day used, like the Mario games, for instance, they used these save slots that you save things mm-hmm. in and whatnot, and you have to go into a menu, and they kind of figured, let's do it with the typewriter and make it in-world to kind of not break your immersion. I think that is really important with horror games. You do not want to break immersion. You want to keep everybody kind of in. Look at Phasmophobia. That's a game that we've been playing a lot in the last year, and they also kind of put a lot of their menus in-game, like their shop is a screen in the lobby and whatnot. They've always used these kind of chalkboards or what did they call them?
The radio?
No, the other boards. Well, you have blackboards, you have the blackboards, and then you have the whiteboards and the ones that you put the pins in. Doesn't matter. Like
cardboard? No, not cardboard. It's...
Yeah.
Cork. Cork,
yeah, but cork boards.
Cork.
Did they call it cork boards? Yeah,
let's call it cork board. Yeah. For Belgians, it's a cork board.
It sounds like Swedish.
Cork board. Cork board. Yeah, I can't even pronounce it. Cork board. Cork board.
Like, sounds like the Swedish chef. But they also use these kind of in world ways of kind. Yeah, of delivering menus and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not always the most pretty way to do it. It's the case for fast mode.
It's still in development. Like, there are a lot of updates. Since we've played,
there has
been a lot of updates. I don't think that the maker of the game or the designer, developer, I don't know, the team, thought that they would get so big, actually.
It's insane. I mean, it started with one guy. I think they call him DK. I don't know what his real name is, but he's known in the community as DK. He kind of started it all by himself. And you can tell that he bought a lot of assets just on the Unity store. Mm-hmm. So it's made a Unity, which is an engine. And attached to these engines, you always have a store where you can buy assets. So you can buy buildings, houses, tables, chairs. So you don't have to model them yourself, which is kind of funny because there's a lot of other horror games out there now. And they all kind of use that same kit. There's at least three or four games that all use the same kit of buildings that you're like, I recognize this vase. I recognize this table. Yeah, it's also in Phasmo. Like you kind of, they all use the same thing. So he basically developed the whole game using models that he bought on the store. And then it kind of blew up. And I think they have like 25 million units sold or something like that. Yeah. It's just insane. And yeah, they charge like 10 bucks. And it's not on sale. I think it's 11 or 12 bucks.
Yeah, so that's pretty cheap for a game.
That's pretty cheap for a game, but that is like 250 million that came into them to kind of...
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. So yeah. Now they have money and more people in the team to work on the game.
Yeah, I think they and have like four people to the, or something now, yeah. Now they have an artist.
In the future.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a fun game. A lot of people kind of feel that at some point it becomes a little stale because you start to realize that it's a game. The first time you play Phasmo, you're kind of impressed by the fact that you...
Oh my God.
It kind of it gets a little scary because... people that know, let me explain. For the people that haven't played Phasmophobia, it's a game where you basically hunt ghosts. You get a contract in which you have to go into a house and you get these tools. And to start, you only get a few tools, but as you clear more missions, you get money, and with that money you can buy more tools. And you need to figure out which ghost it is, and you have some objectives that you need to reach. Like for every mission you have three objectives, and a fourth one being guess the ghost, but that's just the main objective. And then you get some money for pictures that you take of certain things that happen. But the ghost does not like you being around there. So it kind of will work on your sanity, which is basically your health. And the lower your sanity is, the more chance you have that the ghost will attack you. And it can kill you. Like when it starts hunting you, you can try to hide. There are certain hiding spots. There are certain ways that you can kind of distract them. But if they catch you, you're dead. And you're basically a ghost in the house. If you're playing a multiplayer game, you can kind of watch the others play and maybe help them out in sneaky ways. But other than that, if you're playing by yourself, that's game over. And it's really weird because you're basically playing a game. You're looking at your screen. But when you have to open the door and go in, knowing that there's like a ghost, and I'm doing air quotes, under the table, you can see him. it is scary. It's weird, but it is scary the first time you do it.
Yeah, and especially because like I still watch a lot of horror movies.
Do you?
But also documentaries like... What, ghost hunters? you were going to call me out.
No, yo, call you out. I'm just going to say it like it is. If Hilda opens our Netflix app on our TV and she logs in with her account, which has a really cute and beautiful icon, and then you click it, you get the weirdest overview of suggestions that make you think that if anybody, we never do that, but if she would open that, well, we have guests, like someone is visiting us and she's like, oh, let's watch some Netflix.
So someone that we don't know, maybe. Not my sister.
Maybe not your sister, but I think that's just the DNA talking there. But any of my friends, and I would invite them, and we'd say, oh, let's watch a movie. I should be using my account, because if you use your account, they're going to call the cops on you. They're going to be... you need to move out here. You need to get out of here. She's crazy. You just need to, I don't know, get away from her, because like every serial killer, every mystery murder, and I'm just
unsolved
kind of piling
mysteries
on there. But yeah, I know a lot. It's kind of everything. Weird, but I've heard and noticed and seen that actually a lot of women are into this kind of content.
Yeah, a friend of mine is also very into it. And like my sister is very into it. And sometimes we're like, when we watch something like, oh, I'm also watching this, we are like, we watch so many shows like that we're like, he was so stupid that he didn't clean the blood with this, or
that's TikToks, a bit crazy. I've seen those TikToks going by of women kind of doing that same reflection. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's a thing on TikTok. Now, what was the last series you watched?
The last series? Yeah. Now I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries.
And before that?
Before that, Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, come on. she kept calling it Dagmar, which is like a Dutch name, like a name that some people here in Belgium have. Dagmar. I'm like, no, it's Jeffrey Dahmer. Dahmer.
Yeah, I didn't hear the difference, actually, because I kept saying it. Because when I read it, it's Dagmar. And I said, I'm going to watch some Dagmar. And then you say Dahmer. And I say, I thought you say like stupider, dumber. And Dutch is... I didn't really understand that you were trying to correct me.
Oh, really?
Until you said it on stream, like when we were playing Fuzzmo,
mm-hmm.
You said that you exposed me. And I was like...
That's about 90% of my content is exposing
you. It's dumber. And the fun fact, they say his name in every single episode.
Of course they do. Yeah, but he's a known... The thing is, like, he's a known serial killer, and I used to play in a metal band, and a lot of, there are some metal bands that base their lyrics of serial killers and what they did and whatnot.
And Children of the Corn used it. That's not serial killer, but...
No, still. But a lot of metal bands, like, that I know, or that I played with, had a... Like, one band actually had a whole song about the things, the atrocities he did and stuff like that. And so I was kind of familiar with him for a long time. But anyways, I know that you like that type of content. I mean, sometimes I'm just kind of passing by and then going, oh shit, what is she watching now? Like, for me personally, I'm always interested in documentaries and learning about people. But when it gets to that side, it is either disgusting me or it's boring the hell out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister watched the documentary because there was also like the real documentary with the
Jeffrey
about,
Dahmer. Yeah.
About Dahmer. she started watching the series. She stopped watching because she already knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't watch the documentary. Do I say that wrong?
No, you're saying it right.
It sounds weird. Yeah.
No, you said it correctly.
And weird sounded weird. Yeah, I really enjoyed the series. Also because Evan Peters, I think he's such a great actor. I loved American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. I love him as Quicksilver. he's doing such a great job, and it's so weird that you feel a little bit sorry for the guy. I should watch the documentaries because I think that will tell another side, because they really tell it from his side.
They kind of humanize
him. It's a little bit like the Joker. That's fictional, but still it's like the Joker. Mm-hmm. The same feeling. I felt bad for him. I really felt bad for Joker, and never thought I would feel bad for him. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit the same with Dahmer. Even though it was in the series, not like in real life, I don't feel sorry for him. But I feel sorry for what happened to him as well, but not what he did. It can be justified. Mm-hmm. It's not like I justify what he did, but yeah. It's weird. I didn't realize that I would feel sorry for him.
Yeah, but that's the writing. Point. That's the way they kind of write it. Yeah. And I mean, every story has both sides to it. But that doesn't excuse people from... I mean, it kind of puts the blame on everybody around him, and it puts the blame on our
community
society
and
our
society and parenthood and parenting and everything. Mental illness. It's all the same with Joker.
Yeah, but it always ends up coming back to the moment where it is always a personal decision. And I mean, some people are not able to make those decisions, but it is not up to us, or we cannot kind of figure out at what point it is no longer their own decision. So it's really hard to kind of feel sorry for them. That's my feel about them.
Like, yeah. And in the series, you can... He explains it. He's very open about it. I don't know if it's really... It was really like that. I think it was. He was really open about the murders and really...
Yeah, he was.
He really felt like he needed to do it, but didn't know why. He knew it was wrong, but he had the urge that he had to do it. It was like some sort of addiction, which is crazy to hear that other side. But and on the other hand, all those families that got affected about... because of him, it's crazy. It's very sad. So sad.
Mm. Okay, but we're going to stop about the topic because this is not a true crime podcast.
No, you're trying to make this into it.
You're trying to make this into a true crime podcast. Please stop.
I can also interrogate now.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's something to look forward to. I will enjoy that very much. Oh, damn. But yeah, I know you like that type of content. You like you are really, but we kind of were talking about phasmophobia,
yeah,
and how it is kind of the first time you walk in.
Yeah,
it
because
is kind of
I scary. Yeah because I watch like Ghost Hunters and stuff like that. The devices they use, like the voice recorders, the spirit box. Yeah, spirit box always scared the hell out of me in those programs, and a lot of them are. I think most of them are scripted, but I always felt like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this in real life. I want to go to a haunted house or allegedly haunted house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do the investigation and use that stuff. And even if it's scary, I want to do that. And now you can do that, but in a safe spot, even then you're scared, but you're at home. So it's really nice to see something like that in a game.
Yeah, I think that is what draws people in, is that they can kind of feel the thrill and get that feedback and get that, how do you say that? Confirmation, while it is still just a game, without having to venture out and really kind of accept that it might be something that is real. Like a lot of people watch these series. Just before we recorded a podcast this afternoon, I was also watching a video. Like this one YouTube channel of, I think, what is his name? Josh something something. And he does this After Dark series where they do these haunted houses and mansions and whatnot. And they all claim that it's not scripted and it's all the real deal and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But it has this kind of thing to it. Even if I'm skeptic, it kind of draws me in because, I don't know, it is just creepy. And we kind of always enjoy that feel. And that is that's why Phasmo is so popular. But there have been so many other games that's kind of spawned in the last few months, years. I don't know if Phasma was the first. I think there were some other games that did it before, but they definitely triggered a whole new wave of ghost-related games, ghost hunting games.
Yeah, you already had like Paranormal Activity in VR. I think I played that one before, and like Paranormal Activity games like based on...
Yeah,
the movies, which were also pretty scary, but it was not like you were investigating.
This one more like you were basically the subject in a story.
Yeah. You felt that it was a story and that there's gonna be jump scares, and it was like how do you say that? Like when it's a one.
Yeah.
You just walk through.
Yeah.
A walkthrough game.
Very singular, like.
Without an objective. Yeah. Sometimes you have to find a key. Mm-hmm. A little bit like those games, those escape room games. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing with the escape rooms. Like, I really enjoyed the games, and then they made it in something real. That was the opposite way. It's.
I don't know which one came first.
Really?
Yeah. Escape rooms have been around for a long time.
I have been playing escape room games for a very long time.
Escape rooms have been around for a really, really long time too.
Okay.
So I don't know which one came first. I'm not really too familiar with that. Even within the genre, yeah, there were definitely story games, horror games for more than enough. But now there's a whole wave of ghost investigation games. And there's a few unique ones. Like there's the PI... I don't remember the name exactly, but it has something with PI in the name. It's basically like a ghost investigator. And it has this really slow pace to it where you really slowly investigate. You have all these different tools. And it's not about necessarily how do you say that? Figuring out which ghost it is, that's not as important as it is to resolve the reason that they're there. To find out why they are still lingering around and kind of maybe solving that. And then you have other games where you need to figure out which ghost is hunting, and then you need to exorcise the ghost.
Yeah, they should have a mix, because not usually in those ghost series or those ghost hunt things, you have like someone who is a clairvoyant or something, someone who's sensitive, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like a how do you call it, the one that investigate demons and also repels them, like
exorcist.
No, it's not an exorcist. You have a name for it. It's not a dementor, but it's a demonizer.
A demonologist.
Yes. And he also knows a lot about the church, and they also always do something with like the crosses and Catholic, not only Catholic things, but
religious.
Yeah, matters. Religious. It's always religious related.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm so skeptic about it, is because it is always so religiously inspired. And
but that's what they think.
Yeah, but like you said yourself, like holy water, crosses, crucifixes, rather. Bibles, all the same tools that are being used, like also. All the exorcists kind of are being controlled from at the Vatican. This like,
yeah, it's like
demonologists or something different, but I don't know. That's something for a different podcast. I think there's a lot to say about that whole kind of idea and the whole concept. But I think that could be a whole new episode just talking about that.
about all the kind of things, yeah, because you have the technical stuff, technical guys with all the tools and some.
I really
some
like
of
the tools and the gadgets.
I just watched on Netflix. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but don't watch it. I think it's 20 days haunting or something. And it's actually based on a theory of Lorraine and her husband, his name Ed and Lorraine Warren. All the Conjuring universe stuff is based on what they experienced. And they died because they were like the first one that really did like paranormal investigations. And they had like a theory that in 28 days, you have to stay 28 days in a house to really make some kind of connection or a really like some kind of wall that disappears between
the spirit world and
physical our world. But yeah, that show is so staged. I watched it all, but I really didn't enjoy it because it really is staged. And it's a nephew or a nephew or something from that family, from the Lorraine and Ed, the Warrens, that is also involved with the investigation behind the scenes of the teams that goes to haunted houses. But yeah, then they know that they are gonna do this, and then they arrive and they say, I feel there's something present. Yeah, of course you're being sent to a haunted house. It would be weird not to say, I can't feel nothing. This is not haunted.
I think it's just a draft. I think you need to close your windows.
Yeah. They sent me to the wrong place.
I think someone just farted in here. That's all you smell.
Yeah. And it's gone now. It was me. I'm
sorry.
I can
use some Febreze. It's gone.
I don't really like the staged stuff.
No, me neither. I mean, it could be entertaining in some way, but then you can just watch a horror movie. I can watch The Blair Witch or whatnot.
Even when it's fake, that it feels real.
Mm-hmm. When it's too obvious that it's staged, it just kind of removes
it. And also, if it's mysterious, it has to be like some kind of mystery. Like Cloverfield is also an example of
Cloverfield, you know that it's staged. It is like one of those found footage movies.
Yeah.
But it's so nicely done and it kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. That was the same movie to Blair Witch. I remember when I went to watch the Blair Witch in the theaters with a few of my friends. I don't know at that point if we knew already that was it.
I don't think so. The first time I saw it, I really thought it was
a documentary.
Yeah, because you really see like policemen talking about the case and about the witches. And
it was not the first time they did ever that they did a found footage
movie. And I never saw something like that. For me, it was the first time and I was shocked when I heard that it was fake.
Yeah, there was. I know about another movie, Cannibal Holocaust, I think it was called. Which was about a group of researchers that went into the, I don't know where it was, the jungle somewhere, and they found their footage, and that team had run into a village of cannibals.
Yeah.
And it kind of tells the story how they were captured by these cannibals and how they tried to get away, and that they ended up, well, spoiler, did not survive. And then they found the footage somewhere buried, and that's what they made the movie with, but that was all. Of course, all staged. It was also a movie. So I was familiar with the concept. I don't remember if I was still kind of not aware of the fact that this was also staged or not. But I definitely enjoyed the movie and it definitely...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first time you watch it. It has this effect on you that that you cannot get a second time. It has this effect on you that you cannot repeat again.
Yeah, especially if you don't know when it's staged.
Yeah, when you don't know when it's staged.
I didn't know that it was staged and I was shocked. I can imagine.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, those are the kinds of experiences that you're, of course, looking for in any horror experience. If it's a movie, a series, a game, you're always kind of looking for that. It's kind of weird, isn't it? That people like to kind of go for that, that boundary even kind of. Almost cross the boundary of being scared or looking for that sensation at least.
Well, yeah, the same way that people jump like out of planes. I think it's some sort of curiosity also, like about that we don't understand everything in the world and we try to understand or try to maybe make up things to
I think that is what is the base of religion. We're afraid that we do understand everything, so we hope there's something more out there, and all of these kind of ghost stories kind of confirm that there's something out there. I always kind of wonder why. One of my major pet peeves with all these ghost stories is like, why would a ghost kind of pick a building and roam around in there? If I would be a ghost, I would just kind of take my shit and go somewhere on a nice island.
The Ghostbusters first, but.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I'm always kind of, why would you spend your time haunting people and making people scared? Why would you, I mean, you often see these TikToks passing by of people saying, oh, we got this and this happened in our house. And sometimes you can tell so clearly that it's staged that you almost see someone's hand flying by. There's this one life story that I've been running onto on TikTok, which is a woman sleeping. And then she says, yeah, this is the live feed of me sleeping in my haunted house. And you basically see a girl standing right behind her, staring at her. Where you know, like, yeah, you just recorded 6 minutes of you sleeping with your daughter staring at you. And you're kind of looping this for these thousands of people that are convinced that that are trying to warn you and wake you up because you have, they're throwing gifts at you because they want you to wake up because they think there's a ghost staring at you. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm skeptical, but I do believe in some of that stuff because some of that stuff happened to me when I was in a particular house when I lived there. When I grew up, I was like, when I was out of that house, I was like, oh, maybe it was my imagination. But then something else happened that really, really made me think differently about it. But over time, I always go back to the skeptical thing, like, oh, it must have been that, or Yeah.
I think we as humans are really good at kind of filling the gaps between what we do see. I mean, our brain is completely wired to fill the gaps. Like if you see something that resembles a face, mm-hmm. you'll see a face.
Yeah.
When you see something that has like a mouth shape and two eyes, your brain will think that it's a face.
Yeah.
If you shouldn't, like, if you think about it, our eyes work. The only thing that you can see sharply is like a little dot in front of you, and all the rest is blurred.
Yeah.
But you do see a lot more information. Your brain perceives a lot more information. Why? Because your brain kind of compensates for all the thing it cannot see, and for all the stuff it cannot see. And there's like a lot of practical things that you can try. I used to do this as a teacher back when I taught design, but we had these kind of exercises because it's an important thing that we keep when it comes to the development of VR application, for instance. That is something that we use to make VR more convincible without having to use as much resources, because you basically only see a small dot. We're going to render that little dot and your brain will do all the rest. So I think our brain is kind of wired to fill the gaps in a lot of situations. So when you run into something and there's like a few occurrences, a few things that happen, our brain will kind of always try to find the logic in it. And I think that is kind of something that we learned that we needed to do to survive, because we need to react to the situation. And I think a lot of the things that we perceive as, because I experienced stuff like that too. I as a kid, I stayed in a castle, but I was in the scouts and we kind of stayed in this castle. In this castle, we saw the weirdest things happen that sometimes.
Like, yeah, I never saw something. But we never saw stuff something. And I heard stuff.
Yeah, we heard stuff. We noticed doors that were opening that should not be opening. There were a lot of like small things that occurred, objects that kind of moved around without us moving. Like, it's not like we saw them move, but they were certainly on a different spot. And then I think our brain is really strong in kind of filling those gaps and that information that we try to kind of get from it to kind of go, yeah, that was it. Basically kind of feed you what you want to know and what you want to see and what you want it to be. And then we kind of just, we have a tendency to not be satisfied by just going, I don't know what it is. Fuck it. We always want to find the solution. We always want to find the answer. That's why gaming is so popular. That is why gaming is so good a medium.
I didn't want to find the answer.
No, but you want a resolution. It's not like you need to have the answer per se, but you need to kind of have a resolution of that situation. One resolution can be that you turn away and that you kind of avoid it, that you kind of walk away and because you're scared of it. But that is, in a way, a resolution to that problem. What would be not caring at all, what would be the ultimate way of not caring at all, is that you get a book thrown at you while there's nobody in the house and you're like, and you keep eating your cereals. That would be the badass way of saying I don't care at all. But I don't think the moment you're just getting books thrown at you, your cereal is the least of your worries. You're like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, you throw your cereal back to where the book came from. Like, here you go.
You know, you see the silhouette. You see the silhouette of milk basically standing there with the next book ready.
Yeah.
Oh, you asshole.
Bust it.
I mean, yeah. We ended up with talking about the paranormal after all. Damn it.
You didn't. It's Halloween. You have to talk about all of that stuff. That's there's true. So many stuff like that is horror or...
That's true. We talked about movies. We talked about series. We talked about games.
Yeah.
We talked about figurines. If you had to kind of pick your favorite horror game ever...
Yeah.
Or maybe we should take it a little more broad. And what is your favorite horror-themed series, movie... game.
I think Silent Hill is one of them, but I really like Little Nightmares.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I really, really love Little Nightmares. It's an eerie, a scary game. It's not about paranormal stuff. It's weird. It has a lot of mystery around it. And yeah, that last game, like the second one, there's only two games. I really hope they're going to make three, or will keep making those kind of games, because they said that they won't. But I really recommend to play them. You can play them, I think, even on Steam. Yeah, you can play them on PC. Yeah. You can play them on
Switch.
Switch. PlayStation, I'm not sure.
I think you played it on PlayStation.
Yeah, I think I did.
So yeah, PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. The first one I played on PlayStation, and the second one, no. I played both of them on PlayStation. And it's just, it's the same. It's a very strange atmosphere. It's not a very hard game. Sometimes it's hard, but it's really creepy. It's like a childish, like when you're a child, everything that you are afraid of when you're a child happens in the game. And you're also playing with a child, like your character is a child. It's very interesting. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, from everything that I've seen, I think eerie is the best way to explain it. Yeah, it's not about jump scares. It's not about horrific moments. It's just like it gets under your skin because it's like, eerie, I guess. That's like, I'm trying to think of other words, but I think it's just like uncomfortable, but interesting.
Yeah, and also... the graphics and the design is very special.
Mm-hmm.
The music, the sound effects are really on point. The characters are so interesting because they are also, there's so much mystery in those games and you really want to find out what's happening. And yeah, they do some, I don't know, the second one destroyed me. Destroyed me. People who played it will know.
Yeah. I know they posted about it on Instagram. Like,
yeah,
I did. Thank you for the traumas.
Thank you for the depression. Yeah. That was my review of the game.
Which got a lot of likes. People really...
Yeah. Like, I think it's one of my most liked posts ever.
Yeah, okay. But people need to check out Little Nightmares. But
it's,
I think,
not that expensive.
No, it's an indie game. It's pretty cheap. All right, but that was enough for today. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and that you'll have a good Halloween. Hilda, where can people find you? Where can they find your review on Little Nightmares and your costume?
They can find it on Instagram, Tyrannosaurus Hilke, underscore Hilke.
Underscore Hilke, yeah. That's really important. If you see a cute avatar with a person that is wearing a onesie, dinosaur onesie, you're at the right spot. You can find me as Damesys TV, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Check out the Geek and Plunder channel and the socials if you want to be updated about all the videos that we post. Like I said, there's a new video up that I posted yesterday with the Figma, the Pyramid of Figma, and there's going to be a TikTok that is going to be released later this week. But that was it. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
If you enjoyed the episode, leave us a nice review. Make sure to subscribe. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Till then.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Happy Halloween. Bye-bye. Happy Halloween.